Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. I'm your host, Tara Marie Segundo, here on American Latino Radio Channel 154. We're right at the top of the second hour. I'm here every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 Pacific, again here on American Latino Radio Channel 154. Jot down this phone number, the call-in line. It's 888-411-7242, 888-411-7242. Today we're talking about bipolar disorder. In the Latino community, actually in the whole country, but especially in the Latino community, there's a stigma against any kind of mental illness. I would like to break this stigma because if you have a mental illness, it's no different than if you have a physical illness. If you have diabetes or if you have depression, it's the same thing to me. If you have diabetes, there's a problem in your body's chemistry. There's a problem with the way your body's functioning. If you have depression, there's a problem with the way your brain is functioning. It's not that you're loco. It's that you have brain chemistry issues. Let's fix them. As long as you think that there's something that you're, if it's something you're ashamed of, you're not going to reach out and get the help you need. And there's help for these things. We're talking to Dr. Carol Berman. She's a clinical assistant professor of psychiatry at NYU Medical Center. She's also in private practice as a psychiatrist here in New York City. Again, her website, carolwberman.com, carolwberman.com. You can get more information there. Now, Carol, Dr. Carol, you guys, Carol and I are neighbors. We should tell them that, right, Dr. Carol?
Right.
I'm having trouble calling you Dr. Berman. She's my upstairs neighbor. I met her.
Call me Carol. Dr.
Carol. So I met her. I moved into the building April of 2013, June of 2013. We had a big cocktail party for all the residents, and I met you there. So if it seems like I'm really casual with her, it's because she's my neighbor from like upstairs. I always run into her on the elevator. But so getting back to bipolar disorder, is it hereditary? I would imagine it's largely hereditary insofar as brain chemistry being one of the primary issues.
It is hereditary. We haven't figured out the genetics completely yet, but it does run in families. And if you're a child of a parent who has bipolar disorder, you have something like 10 times the chance to get it if your parent or your sibling has it. So, you know, it does run in families, but it's not completely hereditary. Like you could be a child of a person has bipolar and not necessarily get it. We don't know how it skips generations or exactly how it's inherited, but we're trying to figure it out. They're doing a lot of research on it right now.
Right. And let's just quickly run through this. Now, this was an article you wrote. Where's my article? This is an article that you wrote on Huffington Post, HuffPost.com. So you wrote, right. Is there a link to this on carolwberman.com?
Yes, yep. You could get it, or you could just go to Huffington Post and go to the health thing. I think it was about April 2014 when it was published.
It's in the Healthy Living vertical, Huffington Post Online, Healthy Living vertical. Six signs of bipolar disorder. So let's just quickly review these. Dr. Carol, you say a person must have ups and downs.
Right.
You can't just have one state. You can't just be always manic or always depressed. You have to have the manic feelings and the depressed feelings.
Right. And I've seen people who are just depressed, but, you know, I've never seen a person who is just manic and they've never had the depression. So I've seen depressed people for sure, people with up and down for sure, but I've never seen people who are just up.
Right.
I guess those people don't come to
Right. They don't come to see the psychiatrist. Number two, for a manic episode, you must experience an elevated mood for at least a week. Again, with bipolar 2, it can be slightly shorter. But again, a manic elevated mood, meaning above and beyond normal. Those of us who are just happy and, you know, it's an obvious, I would think it would seem obviously over the top. Yes.
Yes. And you'd see that person, you'd say, well, why can't he shut up? He keeps talking.
Right.
And that would be, you know, and then they're also grandiose. They have a feeling that they're so wonderful. Nobody could be as wonderful as they are. And, you know, you'd say, wow, you know, what's the matter with that person? It's quite obvious to you.
You're making me think of someone I interviewed once. Okay. Number three, in a down or depressed mood, the state is present for at least 2 weeks. You feel sadness, emptiness, hopelessness nearly every day, and a decreased ability to feel pleasure.
Right. That happens. They can't enjoy food. They can't enjoy sex. They can't enjoy life. They can't enjoy reading a book or watching a movie. Nothing that they used to enjoy.
Yeah. Number four, often a family history. We just talked about that. Number five, it usually begins in the late teen years or early 20s. Although you say that often onset could be in 60s or 70s.
Right. Not often, but I've seen people come in like in their 60s or 70s. And the person is manic, and they never had that their whole life. They're having these episodes up and down.
Wow.
And people used to say, well, it can't be bipolar because they didn't have it earlier. Well, guess what? Some of these people are getting it late in life as well.
At number six, you say a person can have a mixed episode of mania and depression and swing back and forth from one pole to the other. What's the timing on these swings? Is it like from one day to the next? Like, or what's the timing on
I've even seen it. Usually it's one day to the next, but I've seen it where they have a mixed state where they feel they're talking blah, 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 or they're spending money, but they feel depressed underneath. So they could have one part of it. I've seen it happen together, and that's really gets them sick.
Got it.
Like a manicky, and then at the same time, you know, to say, oh, I feel so depressed.
And there's a suicide risk, I would imagine. A lot of folks who commit suicide,
yeah.
Poor things, I bet.
Yeah, this is the really bad part is it's a big suicide risk. It's something like 15 times that of the general population. And a lot of very great creative people that we admire, like Virginia Woolf, the great author, she killed herself. And some of these composers.
What about Ernest Hemingway?
Ernest Hemingway, a great writer also. And he killed himself. You know, it gets to the point where if they're untreated, like those people were for sure, they just can't take it anymore. It's such a suffering. They go up and down, and they never know where they are, and they're suffering. It might sound like fun to, like, be grandiose or be inflated like that, but it's not fun for them.
Do you think Ernest Hemingway, was he diagnosed with bipolar disorder?
I think he had bipolar, and he shot himself. He was also an alcoholic.
Yeah.
So, you know, once the substance abuse gets in there, it's really bad because they can't think straight at all if they have alcohol in or some other kind of drugs in there. And then they could impulsively do the suicide.
Right. And I want to say this, if anybody's listening, you or someone you love, if anybody's listening, and as you listen to this, I just feel I need to say this. If anybody's listening to this program, you're feeling really low. Just I want you to know, number one, it's going to get better. But also I want to give out this number. If you're at risk, this is the National Suicide Prevention Line. It's 800-273-8255. 800-273-8255. If you need help. That's the National Suicide Prevention Line. They're there 24 hours a day. You're not alone. All right? You're not alone, and things will get better. Remember, suicide is a permanent solution for something that's temporary. All right? I feel like I need to say that. I've known a lot of people I know people in my life who have committed suicide, and it's very sad. It's very, very sad indeed.
Terrible. And in the city, you could call 911, or if there are any relatives around who see a person like the child or somebody else who's feeling like that, immediately call 911. The ambulance will come and take the person to the hospital.
Yeah. They'll put them on a 5150, an involuntary psychiatric hold, right?
Right. And then he'll be watched by doctors and nurses and get some help.
Right. Now, is the Latino population more likely? Because, see, and here's the thing. I really looked around the internet for statistics, and what I found, well, let me tell you what I found. Where's my notes here? Okay, this is what I found. This was really just one study that I could find that would even say this. This was a 2010 study out of Asia Pacific Psychiatry, which is a journal, and it said that Asian and Latino compared to Caucasian patients have significantly higher prevalence of bipolar 1 disorder, 58.8% and 60% versus 37.2% respectively. And Asian and Latino patients also had a higher prevalence of history of psychoses, but this was related to the excess of bipolar 1 disorder. That was the only study I could find that said that Asian and Latinos, everything else I found said that Latinos are kind of on par with the white community. I think, though, it goes back to reporting.
I think it goes back to reporting because in my experience and people that I know, I don't think it's more prevalent than the Hispanic population. Maybe people wait till they're extremely depressed or extremely manic before they get into the hospital or whatever, they get treatment. But I don't think it's any more prevalent. It's kind of like schizophrenia in a way. Schizophrenia all over the world is 1% of the population, and that's a statistic that has held up for years and years. And I think bipolar is something like that, too. It's like 1% of the population of the world. And I don't think it has to do with different groups, but it has to do with reporting and maybe, you know, the community takes care of the person more than the community takes care of the average American.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something like that, because Hispanics are known for good family connections where the family will try to take care of the person, right?
Right. Now, I also I wanted to mention some things. If you've got brain chemistry, I just found some interesting. This was posted on the Mayo Clinic website. And these are things I knew already, but I thought it was interesting that I found it on the Mayo Clinic website. You know, if you've got, like Dr. Carroll said, I mean, if you have history of or risk of depression or bipolar disorder, look, number one, don't drink, don't use illegal drugs, because you're just going to push it along. Yes, Dr. Carroll?
Exactly.
Yeah. Number two, steer clear of unhealthy relationships. Instead, you guys, surround yourself with people who are positive and who won't encourage unhealthy behavior. So, again, you want to put yourself around people who, number one, love you enough to recognize if something is wrong. But number two, they're not going to encourage the crazy behaviors that Dr. Carroll mentioned before. Dr. Carroll, another one they talk about, I highly agree with, get regular physical activity and exercise, because it really alters brain chemistry in a positive way.
Yes, absolutely.
And can help you sleep better.
That's right.
Yeah.
And sleeping is a big problem with bipolar patients.
And that was number that was number five.
Yeah.
That was number four. Get plenty of sleep, because if you don't get enough sleep, again, it throws off your hormones, which throw off the chemistry in your body, et cetera. And Dr. Carroll, I didn't know if you had heard of any of these, but this is stuff that in my world is pretty commonly known. These are supplements that are recommended for depression. So it's really not known if these are going to help with bipolar disorder, because again, with bipolar disorder, the hallmark is the mania and the depression. And also, I want to say that if you try any of these supplements, first of all, you got to tell your doctor, and you can't just stop your medications. Dr. Carroll, tell them, once you're on the medications, any kind of psychotropic drug, if you stop it without weaning yourself and tapering off, God forbid, you could have like a seizure, right?
Well, with the anticonvulsants, you definitely can. Now, with antidepressants, which are also given if people have depression, you can have different symptoms. You won't have a convulsion, but you could feel like you're in withdrawal from something. You could feel like you have the flu,
uh-huh.
Get a headache or stomach aches or constipation or diarrhea. You can get that if you abruptly stop your antidepressant. It's never good to stop anything abruptly.
Abruptly, yeah. But these are some supplements. Omega-3 fatty acids that we talk about a lot on this program. These oils can improve depression associated with bipolar disorder. And omega-3, somebody emailed me, it was Laura posted on my Facebook page. She wanted to know the omega-3 supplement that I take. You guys, I use a salmon oil called Polar Power. It's by North American Urban Spice. So again, I use a salmon oil called Polar Power by North American Urban Spice. Back in the early 2000s, when I was first diagnosed with depression, an acupuncturist put me on high levels of omega-3 fatty acids, fish oils, and it does help with depression. Also, Dr. Carroll, magnesium. Most of us in this country are magnesium deficient, and they're thinking that studies suggest that magnesium can lessen the mania and the rapid cycling of bipolar symptoms. This, again, was on the Mayo Clinic website. Did you know that, Dr. Carroll?
Well, I haven't seen that, but I always tell patients to take a vitamin D supplement, because a lot of times they're lacking in vitamin Bs, and we don't get enough in our diets.
Yeah. Yeah. B vitamins are great for the nervous system. Yeah. But
right.
But did you know about the magnesium?
I didn't. I personally take magnesium, but I didn't know it was good for bipolar.
So yeah. They say that it can lessen the mania and the rapid cycling. And people always ask me what magnesium supplement I take. I always take Natural Calm, which I tell you guys you can get in most health food stores. And I tend to go to the mom and pop health food stores where you can get brands that you can't always find. It's a powder, Natural Calm. It's magnesium. St. John's wort, Dr. Carroll, is one. Now, you've got to be careful, though, because St. John's wort can interact with antidepressants and other medications.
Yeah.
So I don't take...
I would not recommend that one, because if a person's on an antidepressant. St. John's wort has been shown to have antidepressant properties, but we don't really have a good formulation of it in this country. I think in some other countries, like in Germany, they might sell a very good formulation of it. We don't have it here, and, you know, it's not approved generally for as an antidepressant, although some people have said that they have good results from it.
Right, but again, it can interact. St. John's wort can interact with antidepressants. I can't take it because of my thyroid medication, but also it has the potential to trigger mania in some people because it can interact with the antidepressants. So again, St. John's wort, yeah. I probably wouldn't personally recommend that. Also, SAMe. S-A-M-E. This is an amino acid that helps brain function related to depression. It can trigger mania.
Let me just say a word about antidepressants for 1 second, because if a person is bipolar and they take antidepressants, you know, St. John's wort, whatever, mm-hmm. and they don't take some kind of a mood stabilizer like what we're talking about, the anticonvulsants or lithium, mm-hmm. it can trigger a manic episode. So you have to be very careful.
Right, and that's what I just, on the St. John's wort and the SAMe, they mentioned that on the Mayo Clinic website. They mentioned that these two, you've got to be careful because it can trigger the mania. I wanted to mention, there are three things that I take, four things that I take, you guys, and I just wanted to tell you because I always share what I do. To raise serotonin levels in the brain, Dr. Carol, I don't know if you know this or not, but saffron extract, I take saffron, it raises serotonin levels in the brain. L-tryptophan peptides, that's an amino acid, L-tryptophan peptides raises serotonin levels in the brain. N-acetyltyrosine, it raises dopamine levels in the brain. And then I also take 5-HTP. It raises serotonin levels in the brain. So any word on any of those, Dr. Carol?
Well, I'm not familiar with those. I've heard about them, but I'm not that familiar with them, so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I take those. I tend to go the natural route as much as I can. And again, as someone who struggled with depression, I take these supplements just because they're known to raise serotonin levels in the brain. So you guys, we're going to go and come back. And when we come back, we're going to wrap up with Dr. Carol, say a quick goodbye. And it's been great. This conversation has been fantastic, Dr. Carol. You guys, we'll be right back in 2 minutes after this word from our sponsors. We're going to say goodbye to Carol. Then we're going to shift gears and talk to a listener who's had a question for me. We'll be right back after this. I'm Tara Marie Segundo. You're listening to Tara Marie Live on American Latino Radio, channel 154.
Got a question? Don't be shy. It's your health. Call Tara Marie now, 1-888-411-7242. That number again throughout the U.S., 1-888-411-7242.
Did you wake up this morning with sore knees, hands, or other sore joints? Don't go another day feeling this way. Join thousands of satisfied customers and try NovaJoint. Designed by a doctor to nourish and lubricate your joints, NovaJoint works fast, without glucosamine, chondroitin, or any of the other ingredients that have disappointed people for years. Customers love NovaJoint because it works fast and it's so easy to take. Here's what a customer in New Mexico wrote. My knees felt great after a couple of weeks, and after a few months, I forgot they were ever sore. I would recommend this product to anyone with stiff, achy joints. NovaJoint really works. So don't wait another day. Go to NovaJoint.com and use the coupon code RADIO or call 855-657-7700. Don't wait to feel great. That's NovaJoint.com and love how you feel.
We'd like to welcome you to an entirely new programming concept, American Latino Radio. Programming by, for, and about American Latinos. Well, who is an American Latino? If you were born in the United States of Latino heritage, you are an American Latino. If you were born in Latin America but were brought here at an early age, you are probably an American Latino too. In the coming months, American Latino Radio will produce and offer a series of programs hosted by and created for listeners from the approximately 35 million American Latinos in the United States today. These programs focus on a wide range of subjects, including health and wellness, politics, entertainment, investment, house and home, sports, car repair, and so much more. We will be here on Sirius XM channel 154 every day. Please join us on American Latino Radio and become part of the conversation at 1-888-411-7242 or visit us online at AmericanLatinoRadio.net. And now, back to Tara Marie Live on American Latino Radio.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. Dr. Carol, we've got to let you go. You guys were talking to Dr. Carol Berman, a clinical assistant professor of psychiatry. We've been talking about bipolar disorder. Any final thoughts, Dr. Carol? I know you've got to go in 2 minutes to another appointment.
Right. Well, I think you did a very good program because you brought out all the main points that we want everybody to hear. And the main thing is that people get treatment and, you know, not feel so bad about themselves because they have something like this.
Right.
And get treatment for it. And there is treatment, and we went through that. So I think that's great that you did that.
Right. And also, again, I reiterate, you guys, the supplements that I mentioned, if you're on medication, you can't just stop your medication. You got to go to your doctor, communicate with your doctor. If you want to get off medication, you guys have to taper off. It takes a while. And then you've got to talk to somebody who can correctly advise you on these supplements. It depends on who you talk to, okay? So, Dr. Carol, thank you so much. And you guys, let me just give out Dr. Carol's information again. It's www.carolwberman.com, CarolWberman.com. There, I'm sure, Dr. people can link there to all of your Huffington Post articles, yes?
Yeah.
You can link to her Huffington Post articles. Yeah, she's written a lot about a lot of variety of subjects. And also, doctor, I would imagine there you also have information about the books that you've written. Panic disorder. Yeah, panic disorder.
And people could send emails, panic disorder and personality disorder. And people could send emails if they want at the bottom of each page. It's a possibility to send an email if they feel like
it. So it's been lovely. Thank you so much, Dr. Carol Berman.
Thank you so much, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, my love. All right, you guys, we're switching gears. You know I love my listeners. And so what we're doing, I had a listener who wanted to talk to me. And before I bring her on, I just wanted to mention my favorite listener. Let me pull up my favorite listener. He tweets me all the time. I've already told my producer about him. It's a guy. Let me pull this up. Sabrina, I already told you about him, right? My guy. All right, so this is what he said. He tweets me all the time. Where's my tweet? Wait a second. Where's my tweet? I have a listener who's 9 years old, and I wanted to say hi to him. Okay, it's not coming up because I'm not getting good reception. Basically, you guys, I have a listener in Dalton, Georgia, named Andre. Here it is. He says, okay, let me get this. Okay, he says... Where is it? Okay, I'm boring you people. Okay, I'm boring you. I can't find his tweet. His name is Andre, and he lives in Dalton, Georgia, and he's an athlete. He's 9 years old, and he sent me a picture on Twitter of him at a swim meet. And he, like I said, he's 9 years old, and he says he loves the show, and he's an athlete. And I just wanted to say, Andre, if you're listening, it's from Dalton, Georgia, Sabrina is from Dalton, Georgia, I believe. So if you're listening, Andre, I love you, and I'm proud of you, and you're 9 years old, and you're going to be a superstar when you're a grown-up because you're 9 years old, and you're so smart right now. So I'll find that tweet, you guys, and I'll read it to you on Monday. It was the cutest tweet. But if you want to tweet me, my Twitter account is @TaraMarie_live, @TaraMarie_live. Facebook, where a lot of you message me, is facebook.com/TaraMarieLive. And, of course, you guys email me, and I love getting your emails. The email address is Tara@TaraMarie.com, TaraMarie.com. Go to TaraMarie.com, sign up for my mailing list. I just wrote a newsletter that I went out today around noon or about 1 o'clock Eastern time. So you already missed this week's newsletter, but I posted it on my Facebook page at 6 p.m. this evening. Just as the show was beginning, the newsletter that I wrote this week posted on my Facebook page. So go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/TaraMarieLive. Today's newsletter, if you missed it because you didn't sign up for the mailing list yet, is posted there. It posted at 6 p.m. Eastern time, and then get on the mailing list and you'll get my newsletter regularly. It's about mental, emotional, physical, social, and spiritual health. So I talk about all different kinds of things. Also, it's not only a tip, it's a newsletter. So if I have any announcements about American Latino Radio, like saying, hey, the website is up, you can go there for archives, or hey, we're doing a live show somewhere and we're going to be in your city, whatever news I have, I also disseminate through my private mailing list. So TaraMarie.com, sign up for the mailing list. So I got this email. Now, this is from a young lady with whom I did a career consultation a while ago. And actually, in a couple weeks, we're going to be doing another follow-up to hear about her, how her career's doing. Because after I do a consultation on the air with somebody, I'm always curious, hey, how are things going? So I like to do a follow-up. But she sent me this question because she said, you know, can I ask you a couple health questions? So this is from a young woman named Fel, and you may remember her from her career consultation. She says, as you know, I was diagnosed with cancer. It was leukemia. I had to relearn how to eat because I was not able to tolerate food in my stomach for a very long time. I was being fed using the tubes attached to my main veins after being released from the hospital. A nutritionist talked to me and said that I needed to start my diet with liquids at first because of my inability to tolerate solid food and then go from there. She says, I was so scared to go back to the hospital that I made major changes. I stopped drinking soda. I stopped drinking juices, etc. And I started drinking only water, and I have been since then. I did become allergic to shellfish and to dairy products. Okay. So she says, what I'm experiencing now is that every time I lower my sugar and my carbohydrate intake, I lose sleep, feel dizzy, get headaches, and become anxious. I have to get up in the middle of the night and eat, otherwise I stay awake. I don't know what to do, and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Listening to your show, I've been learning a lot about what foods to eat, and I've been making some changes, but I still get the headaches. I also want to ask you about exercise, maybe a routine that can help me build muscle so I can protect my bones. My doctor told me that because of the radiation treatments for the cancer, I'm most likely going to get osteoporosis. I do take yoga classes, but I feel like it's not enough. And also after the yoga class, I have pain in my wrists. Thank you for taking time to answer my questions and help me. Thank you for having such an informative and inspirational show. Fel. We love Fel from Walnut Creek, California. Are you there, sweetie?
Yes, I am. Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
We love you here. Sabrina and I, when I told Sabrina that you wanted to ask a question about, you know, about health, because we have you scheduled for about 2 weeks from now, I think, to talk about how your career's going. And then you said, well, can I ask you a couple health questions? I said, why don't we separate the two? Because I want to give you plenty of time. So I think, see, I don't want you to be afraid. I would think that after you've had something as traumatic as cancer, and, you know, and people should know, if they didn't hear the show that you were on when you did your career consultation, you didn't just have cancer. I mean, they thought that you were done. Like, they brought in the priest, right?
Yes, actually. Yeah, I was like, I wasn't going to make it. That was it. My funeral was already in order to be planned, and they were doing all kinds of arrangements.
Then you had like this miracle of God that you just turned around, right?
Yes, right. I had this, I was floating, and I felt that I was floating on my bed, like somebody was holding me and saying, everything's going to be okay.
Oh.
It's gonna be okay.
I love that. So like you literally had a miraculous event with God. See, personally, if I were sleeping and I was in a hospital and I woke up and there was a priest standing over me with holy water, I think I would have a heart attack. Do you know what I mean? Like, she woke up. No, to be fair, let's put ourselves in her shoes. She's sick. She's in a hospital. She woke up and there's a priest standing over her. I would have a panic attack. I would have a heart attack. I would probably die right there just from seeing the priest. So I'm glad that everything worked out for you. And I believe that when something like that happens, that you literally, I mean, again, you were at the point where they were planning your funeral. I believe that that means that God spared you for a very specific reason. And you kind of owe it to God and everybody else to give the gifts that you have to share, because you're obviously here to share something. So we're going to talk about that more when we get to the career consultation follow-up. For now, what I think, I don't want you to be afraid. I think you just have low blood sugar, because again, you mentioned inability to sleep, dizziness, headaches, anxiety. Do you ever have like light sweating? That also happens when you have low blood sugar.
Yeah.
So you just have low blood sugar. Yeah. So here's the thing. You say, when I take sugar and carbohydrates, then it feels like you get low blood sugar. What the key to having steady blood sugar is to have enough protein, and then and enough healthy fat, and then some slow releasing complex carbohydrates. I get most of my carbohydrates in the form of vegetables And then, like on heavy training days, maybe I'll add in some grains. But on normal days, if I'm not doing heavy training at the gym, collard greens, beets, organic pumpkin, squash, you know, Brussels sprouts, that plenty of vegetables along with lean protein is enough, you know, to offer us carbohydrate. Yeah. I've never espoused a zero carbohydrate diet. What I've espoused is getting all of the refined stuff and all of the sugar out of your diet. And again, I probably get quite a lot of carbohydrates in the form of lettuce, collard greens, spinach, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, beets, organic carrots, all the things like that. So talk to me about your protein intake. That's really what I want to hear about.
Well, what I've been doing for a long time, I read about Dr. Perricone.
Dr. Louis Perricone. Yep.
Yes. So he's about the protein, and I made those changes a little bit. I'm like on and off the protein because I, as I said before, every time I don't eat white bread. I just eat wheat bread or I don't know, something that is like oatmeal.
Whole grain oatmeal. Yeah.
Right. So when I stop doing that, that's when I get my body kind of like reacts to it. I don't know if it's because I'm making the change and is reacting to it and is going to go back to normal, or is it because I need that, or it's just the way my body works.
Talk to me about your protein and your vegetable intake. Let's start there.
Okay.
Are you having servings of protein every 4 hours or so? And what protein are you having?
Okay. I don't need meat. I don't need red meat, and I don't need pork. I'm not able to digest it. And okay. I recently started eating chicken.
Okay. What?
And so it's fish. My protein is fish.
Okay. So you eat chicken, fish. So all you eat is chicken and fish. Would you eat turkey? I know you can't have
once in a while turkey.
Okay. So chicken, fish, turkey. Do you have eggs? Mm-hmm. Eggs.
Eggs. Yes.
Okay. So chicken, fish, turkey, eggs. The only thing you really avoid is red meat and pork. Correct.
Right. Great.
Okay. Talk to me about your dosing of the protein, because see, usually when someone has low blood sugar, protein is the issue. Take me through a typical day. You wake up, how soon do you eat a protein breakfast?
Oh, the first thing I do in the morning is I get a glass of water because I feel dehydrated, and I learned that in the hospital. I drink a glass of water, warm water, and then I just eat my breakfast. I alternate like smoked salmon or two eggs. I started eating eggs more because of my vitamin D was low.
Yes.
And I didn't want to take the pills. And so I decided to eat one egg every day, and actually worked. My vitamin D went back to normal.
Good.
Just by eating the eggs. So I just kept eating them, and now they're part of my every other day I eat them.
All right, breakfast, because I'm just trying to get a vibe of your day. Breakfast, you wake up within 30 minutes or so, you're eating. What's breakfast? An egg, two eggs? Tell me what breakfast looks like.
Two eggs, a couple of vegetables like tomatoes, or if I have mushrooms, I mix the eggs with mushrooms. And a cup of green tea.
Okay.
And maybe a piece of toast, like whole wheat, like that Ezekiel bread.
Okay. And then how many hours till you eat lunch? And what does lunch look like?
I eat lunch around noon.
But how many hours between meals? How many hours between meals, sweetie?
Maybe 4 hours.
Okay. So about 4 hours later, then we're doing another meal. So what does that meal look like?
Sometimes it's a sandwich with sliced chicken, or it could be eggs again, or with greens, and a piece of chocolate, dark chocolate, and that's or soup, depending of you know what I'm doing, lentil soup or bean soup.
Okay. And then, okay, so just lentil soup. So sometimes it's just like lentil soup. And then how long until there's either dinner or a snack with protein?
And then maybe 3 hours later, I get a very, like a couple of almonds or another piece of chicken with a piece of fruit, like berries. I usually eat berries. I don't eat any other kind of fruit. Blueberries or raspberries or strawberries. And then later dinner, a salad. I've been eating a lot of greens because it's been helping me with my bowel movement.
Right.
Green with a piece of fish, like salmon or catfish or what's the other one?
Now, when you say a lot of greens, what is a lot? Because see, when someone says a lot, that's very ambiguous. For some people, half a cup is a lot. For me, like if I eat lettuce, I eat the head of lettuce all at once because that's a lot. Do you know what I mean? So, what is a lot to you?
I go to Whole Foods and I buy those mixed greens, and they have like a big container and a small container. I eat half of the small container, maybe it's a half of the. Letters that you eat, maybe it's half of the head.
About a half a head.
Yeah.
And when you have the low blood sugar, when you have these symptoms of low blood sugar, dizziness, you can't sleep, headaches, anxious. See, we have to go to break and we'll come back. My gut instinct is telling me that if when you took out the bread or the such and such or the sugars, and I'm not demonizing bread. I mean, I don't eat bread just because I don't eat anything made of flour. But, you know, I'm not demonizing grains. What I'm saying, though, is I only eat them on heavy training days, generally speaking, because I find that I would rather double up or triple up on my vegetables and then have protein. That's how I stay lean. My hunch, and we'll talk about this when we come back, my gut instinct is that when you take out the bread or the rice or like what is it? What is it that you're taking out? Explain. It's either bread or what else?
I took bread and I took brown rice and oatmeal. I took. What else? Beans.
I can't hear you. So beans.
Yes, beans.
Okay, so oatmeal, beans. Okay, so if you're saying if you remove bread, brown rice, oatmeal, and beans, that's when you start to get these symptoms, right?
Right.
All right, so let's come back on that thought. Let's come back on that thought because I think I know what's going on here. You guys, we're going to come back. We're talking to my beautiful listener, Fel, from California, and we're talking to her. She's having blood sugar fluctuations is what's happening, basically. I'm Tara Marie Segundo. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. You're on American Latino Radio, Channel 154.
This is Channel 154, American Latino Radio.
If you have kids in your life, you need to know about the only multivitamin patented for learning and academic performance to help your kids do their very best in school. Used for over 10 years in public schools, Potential is designed by a doctor to support brain function by nourishing a growing brain with active vitamins, important minerals, and antioxidants from superfruits and berries. Designed to be clean and wholesome, Potential doesn't contain additives, preservatives, artificial colors, flavors, and sugar found in most other kids' vitamins. Being a kid today isn't easy, so give the kids you love every advantage with Potential. To learn more, visit mykidspotential.com and use the special coupon code RADIO or call 877-877-4566 to order. That's mykidspotential.com or call 877-877-4566. Help your kids do their very best to succeed. Give them potential today.
Are you satisfied with your health and happiness? Do you like where your life is going? I'm fitness expert and personal trainer Tara Marie Segundo, host of Tara Marie Live on American Latino Radio, Channel 154. I invite you to join me Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 Pacific. It's time to kick your life into high gear and create the health and happiness you deserve. Call me at 888 888- 877-411-7242 with all your questions about whole person health. You're not just a body and a brain. You're an integrated system, and in order to be truly healthy and happy, you need to focus on the development of the mental, emotional, physical, social, and spiritual sides of you. So get ready to join the conversation on Tara Marie Live, weekdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern, 3 to 5 Pacific, right here on American Latino Radio, Channel 154.
Tara Marie is live, and you can call her now, 1-888-411-7242. That number again for Tara Marie Live, 1-888-411-7242. Call now.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. I'm laughing because literally 5 seconds ago, I was standing in the control room and Pablo was yelling at me because I'm always late to come back from breaks. Fel, I'm always late coming back from breaks. But they're yelling and he's laughing at me. And then it just reinforces bad behavior when you laugh. It's like my nephews do naughty things and I laugh and then I get yelled at by my sister-in-law and my brother because they say I'm reinforcing naughty behavior. Because I laugh when they do naughty things. So I can't.
He almost wants you to be late.
What's that, honey?
He almost wants you to be late.
It's almost like I want to be late to make Pablo laugh. So here's what I think is going on. Because I haven't had bread or brown rice or oatmeal or beans. In other words, I haven't eaten any of those things in so long I don't even remember. Actually, beans I've had recently. But the point is this. When you take something out, you can't just take it out. You have to replace it with something. You need to double up your veggies or you need to eat more protein. My gut instinct is that when you have, you know, again, if you have one egg, that's not a lot of that. That's not, you know, you can't just eat an egg and call that a meal. You have to, again, the reason I get away with just eating vegetables for my carbohydrates is because I eat so many of them, so much. And again, if I eat chicken or fish or sardines or whatever I eat, in other words, I don't eat just a little bit. It's not like I'm just picking at things. I eat substantial servings of these things. But I just don't eat a lot of grains. Again, if I do heavy lifting, I do, and I have to, because when you lift weights and when you exercise in a heavy way, whether you're an endurance athlete and you're going running or whether you're doing weight training, you have to refeed the muscles because the muscles have stored glucose in each and every muscle fiber. So you have to refeed your body. But on days that I'm not working out hard, there's no real point. So I just eat vegetables and nuts and seeds and animal protein and things like that. I'm trying to think of what I've eaten.
What would be the ideal amount?
Obviously, you're not having enough because if you're having dizziness, sweaty, trouble sleeping, you're under eating.
I'm over my weight. I'm over like 10 pounds over my regular weight. I'm 5'6". Mm-hmm. And I weighed 145 or one in between 145 and 140.
Well, here's the thing. Under eating is not a way to. I mean, you'll eventually lose weight, but by under eating, you essentially slow your metabolism. When you undereat, your metabolism, what happens is when you undereat, your body wants to protect you. So your body goes, oh, okay, I got it. She's undereating, so let's just kind of slow down here. The best way to lose body fat is to eat in a healthy way and to move like a crazy man. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the help, because then you're not only revving your metabolism, but you're also adding muscle to your body. The more you move around, the more muscle you have. The more you sit around, the more you degrade muscle. It starts to break down. You start to lose muscle. That's why just sitting around on your butt is just so bad for you. Your muscles atrophy.
Right.
So I think what's happening, my instinct is that you're under eating and that when you take out these things, your body, you know, you can't just take out, because like, let's say you have two pieces of bread. Okay. So that's like 150 or 200 calories. You have to put in those calories in the form of vegetables or in the form of a little more protein and a little, you know, what I would do is I'd have a little more protein and a lot more vegetables. You can't just remove food and then wonder why you're getting low blood sugar.
Okay.
You see? Because yeah, again, if bread, like I haven't had a slice of bread. I don't even remember the last time I ate bread because I just quit eating flour products. So I don't eat bread or pastas because I just don't want flour. It just it's refined. It's a higher glycemic index and it kind of gunks up my colon. I don't want it. So if I eat grains, right. I eat the whole grains. And so, you know, what I'm saying is. And by the way, beans are fine. I mean, beans have a lot of carbohydrates. But, you know, like if you decide, OK, this meal, I'm going to have some beans and a small cup of rice to combine the two to make a complete protein and a huge salad, that's fine. But, okay. You know, I talk about getting all my sugars down. Like today, I'm trying to think, OK, so today for my first meal, I had a huge Granny Smith apple and I cut it in half and I ate half of it with almond butter. And then as a snack before I came to the show, I had a small handful of organic walnuts. Now, when I go home, I want some animal protein. So I'll probably have turkey and then 10 ounces of kale and then about 6 ounces of organic carrots. So see, carrots and kale, that has carbohydrates in it, but it's just in the form of vegetables plus the fiber. Right. And when you combine carbohydrates with fiber in the form of vegetables, it slows down the rate of entry into the bloodstream. So they have a lower glycemic index, even though carrots is fairly high sugar. Carrots are fairly high sugar. I would never have more than like 6 ounces at a pop because it's got a lot of sugar in it. But see, if you're taking something out, you have to put something back in. Maybe have a little bit more protein and then a lot more vegetables. And to answer your question, how do I know when enough is enough when you're not losing sleep, feeling dizzy, getting headaches and anxious? Also, keep in mind, you know, like if I feel those symptoms, like if I feel like I'm kind of dizzy and anxious and I'm getting like my blood sugar's dropping, I'll just have a small handful of organic almonds or a small handful of organic walnuts or a small handful of organic cashews. And you always want to chew your nuts really thoroughly because raw nuts have enzymes in them that will help you digest them.
Okay.
You see, so if you get like, let's pretend we got off this phone and you started to get the shakes, that your blood sugar was dropping. Get 15, 20 almonds and chew them really thoroughly. When you eat nuts and seeds, you want to chew them till they're liquid in your mouth. And then see if that steadies your blood sugar. Because usually when people have low blood sugar, it has to do more with protein.
Okay.
Do you understand?
So it's about quantities and I have to add more.
Well, again, when you say I'm eating chicken, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know if you're having 3 ounces or if I don't know what you're eating.
So do I have to have a special, like I can measure on my scale, I can measure 6 ounces of chicken.
Yeah.
Is it measure with your height or your weight?
It's not really with height and weight because like I'm short. I weigh 5'4" I'm 5'4" in 5'4" tall, 5 feet, 4'4". I just lie to you guys and I tell you I'm 5'5", but I'm lying. Okay. So everybody knows now I'm 5'4". I just think 5'5" sounds better, but if I'm 5'4" and I actually eat quite a lot for someone, quote unquote, my size, but when I move around a lot, you know what I mean? So it has more to do with activity level. Height has, you're 5'6"?
5'6".
Okay. So we're just 1 inch apart. It has to do with how much you're moving. You know what I mean? Like, you know, when I go lift weights, I lift weights like a guy. I mean, I'm not playing around.
Okay.
You know, when I walk in New York City, when I'm walking to work or walking home from work, I'm not even really walking. I'm half jogging most of the time. Do you know what I mean? So you have to look at, essentially, it comes down to your metabolic rate. Metabolic rate, I did an entire you're on my mailing list. You should have gotten that, the metabolic rate thing where I talked about the thermic effect of food. Did you get that?
The one you just sent?
You're on my mailing list. You need to check your spam folder because you told me once that you haven't been getting them. But I did a newsletter called Does Exercise Affect Resting Metabolic Rate? This was back in May. And your metabolism is affected. You've got resting metabolic rate, which is your basic resting metabolic rate, what you burn at rest. Then you've got the thermic effect of food. And then the big component is physical activity, energy expenditure. Always, you guys, if you're on my mailing list, always check your spam folder because, Fel, I think most of my newsletters go into your spam folder.
Probably. I'm going to check that.
Yeah.
I received one.
Yeah.
But then after that, I didn't.
Yeah, because I just wrote one today that went out at about 1 o'clock Eastern time. It probably went in your spam folder too. Yeah. But see, the thing is metabolism is very labile, meaning it changes. Just because your metabolism slows down for some reason doesn't mean it'll always be slow. Your metabolism can slow down because maybe you've been ill and you've been bedridden for a while. That'll slow your metabolism. Your metabolism will slow if you lose a lot of muscle due to an injury or something. So again, metabolism is a complex thing. But metabolism is labile, so you can do things to rev your metabolic rate, and you can do things that will slow it down. By under eating and not moving, you'll slow down your metabolism because your body will say, oops, she's really not feeding us much. Let's slow down to accommodate very few calories.
Right.
So
walking, is that a complete exercise? Because when I asked my doctor if I wanted to run, I don't like to run, but he also suggested running was not too appropriate for women because of your breasts and because you're not strong as, you know, your ankles are not strong enough.
I don't agree with the ankle comment. I think that's a little wackadoodle. I've never heard of that. But what I always tell women, if you have big breasts, is make sure you have a really, 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 really good couple running bras. And, you know, they're kind of like binder bras. You really want, because what happens is the breast tissue. Do you have big boobs?
Not big, but
they're okay. So just average size boobs. You want to keep your breasts, no matter what size they are, pretty bound to your body, because when you run, what happens is the breast tissue is held up by what's called Cooper's ligaments. And see, once those ligaments, you know, you don't want your breast to bounce up and down. You don't want to stretch those ligaments and create sagging. So for running, I always tell my ladies, this is what I do. I don't have big boobs. I'm pretty flat chested, maybe like a B cup at the best. But I really wear a good, sturdy running bra because you don't want to be bouncing around. The thing is things that rev your metabolic rate with exercise are the things that are high intensity. So if you're going to walk, you walk like you mean it. I mean, you walk fast and you walk like you mean it. If you're going to run, instead of jogging, I like to break out and kind of, you know, sprinting, like where you sprint for a little while and then you pull it back and then you sprint and then you pull it back. I wrote another newsletter about that, about high intensity interval training that you probably missed too. But the point is to raise your metabolism, you want to do high intensity, even if in bursts. So what I would do if I were you is figure out the blood sugar issues by way of, if you start to get the shakes, first of all, it's better if you don't get the shakes, if you don't get to the point where your blood sugar is dropping, where you start to sweat and get anxious. But if you do, have, you know, 15 or 25 almonds, chew them thoroughly, chew them well, chew them slowly, and swallow them only when they're liquid in your mouth. Mm-hmm. But in general, to keep yourself from getting to that point where you get shaky, have plenty of protein all throughout the day. It's the protein that stabilizes the blood sugar.
Okay.
And again, if you take out the bread, if you take out the brown rice, if you take out the oatmeal, if you take out the beans, reinsert those calories in the form of vegetables and protein. Also, I eat a lot of organic nuts and seeds, which are calorically very dense, like an ounce of, let's say, cashews. Well, let's say an ounce of almonds, because you mentioned almonds. An ounce of almonds is 175 calories. So that's a very small amount of food with a dense caloric amount. So you just want to factor that in. You can't get fat from eating nuts unless you eat them mindlessly and you don't realize how many calories you're putting in. So that's what I think is happening. I think you're having blood sugar fluctuations. And also, blood sugar is regulated by water. So if there's any, I don't want you just drinking the water first thing in the day. I want you to really down water. How much do you weigh right now?
I'm 140, 145. I stay between that.
145?
Uh-huh.
All right, so you need to have at least a gallon of water a day. A gallon of water is 128 ounces.
Yeah, I drink a lot of water. That's one of my things.
Yeah.
That I've been doing for a long time.
And when you have chicken, let's say, how many ounces? Because, again, I would say definitely, because I have a food scale too, 6 ounces of chicken or, you know, that kind of thing, you know.
So the diet that I was telling you about suggests 3 to 6 ounces of protein.
Yes.
So I'll be doing the lower part.
Okay. So to try to quell your blood sugar before you start eating bread, add 2 or 3 more ounces of protein. Because bread is not going to fix your blood sugar. Protein will.
Protein, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, I'm the opposite of you. If I want to screw up my blood sugar, I start eating a lot of sugar. That makes my blood sugar go up and down. The way I stay feeling well is I eat steady amounts of protein. I eat a lot of vegetables, drink a lot of water, and I supplement with nuts, seeds, nut butters, things like that. Very small amounts of fruit in the form of either blueberries, strawberries, Granny Smith apples, things like that are fairly low sugar and in very small amounts.
Okay.
So try that. Try that. And I'm sorry we're out of time. We didn't get to talk about weight training. And but if you go to my blog, peruse my blog, sweetie, because there are different blogs that talk about revving metabolic rate, things like that. And a bunch of the newsletters that I've written, I've been so busy, I haven't bothered to post them on my blog, but I will try to get to that in the next couple weeks. And also,
okay,
go through your spam folder. You've probably missed quite a few newsletters. If you haven't emptied it, they're all still sitting there for you, okay?
Okay.
All right, sweetie. I'm glad we talked to you, Phil.
Thank you very much.
And you can update me when you can update me when we talk about your career stuff, okay?
Okay, I will.
All right, honey. All right. All right, you guys, this was a great show. This was really a great show. You guys sign up for my mailing list. But like Fel, the newsletter often goes into people's spam folder. So check your spam folder. Just for professional reasons, I check my spam folder every day to make sure good things didn't fall into it. But go to taramarie.com, TARAMARIE.com. Sign up for my mailing list. Again, my information, it's practical. I'm a very practical person. It either works or it doesn't. And also, it's free. It's just something I like to do because it's a way I can give away information to people who need it. I'm Tara Marie Segundo. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. Like my Facebook page for more information about me, and I post there every day, facebook.com/Tara Marie Live. I'll be here Monday, same time, same place, with a fantastic show. Bye-bye.